Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, second hour. And if you've had an energy deficit, well, we've got the cure for you. You don't have to go out and get one of those little drinks. We've got Tim Staples, Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, a very well-traveled speaker and author, and the big book is Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. Behold Your Mother. Tim Staples, thanks very much for being with us.
It is great to be with you, Cy Kellett, my friend.
And I know you're glad to be here because you got nothing else to do. You got writing to do, no traveling, no speaking, nothing else. So this is good that you have something in your life.
Yes.
To be able to focus on.
As Cy knows, as he was running down the hall to get me because I was, I think I was absorbed in my computer screen here just now.
Were you writing about Mary, or you were writing about the end times, or I'm trying to
well,
think of
Well, actually, right now, I was into a project for the Apologists, and I, on the website, we're doing some new stuff for the website, but I've got so many things going right now, thanks to John Versillo sitting there. I've got a DVD project that's in its infancy stages. I've got two books that are at various levels of development, and I've got a CD set that's almost ready to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, other than that,
you're right.
Then you got blog posts and articles and stuff.
Right. Know? But you know what? People are going to say, well, what about Tim's health now if we talk about you doing all this stuff? But you are healthy.
Amen. That's the only way I'm going to stay healthy is to keep working.
Really?
You know what? I really think if I just stopped, I would die.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably, that might be true.
Right. I can't even imagine. I can't imagine not doing apologetics. I mean, if I make it to 80, I'll still be doing, I mean, I may not be working full time for Catholic Answers, but I will still be doing, I will do apologetics until my last breath. Yeah. I'll be in the hospital going, let me write one more blog post, Lord, for my blog.
Or somebody with something, the nurse will say something to you and you'll be like, actually, at the second council of 888-318-7884 is our number. It's open forum this hour. Any question you've got, whether you are Catholic or not, if it has to do with the Catholic faith and belief, we would love to take that call. 888-318-7884. Tim, we are full on the line, so let's start working our way through this.
Let's do it.
All right, Todd in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. You are on with Tim Staples. Your question, please.
Well, hi, guys. I've been listening to you for a while. I just want to say it's a privilege to finally get to talk to you.
Fantastic. You. Welcome.
Well, hey, my question is, I've been wondering why we're here on Earth. If God is so almighty and powerful, why do we even need to be born on Earth, and why not just go straight to heaven? And skip this Earth environment, because to me it almost seems like a purgatory right now.
Yeah, you know, that is a question that there is no way Tim Staples or Cy Kellett or anybody else can answer other than God. Those questions need to be directed directly to God in prayer, my friend. Because, you know, when you talk about why did God create, I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, I often say, Todd and Cy, why did God create is a great question, because let me just tell you this, Todd. If I'm God, I'm not creating these knuckleheads. I'm not creating Tim Staples, who's going to cause me so much trouble. But, you know, think about it. God was absolutely infinitely happy in that perfect circle of infinite love, Father for Son, Son for Father, Father and Son for Holy Spirit back to the Father and the Son, those four eternal relations that we know constitute the three persons of the Blessed Trinity in this infinite act of love, right? Absolutely. And yet he chooses to create. Now, when he knows, Todd, think about this. When he creates, he knows not only is that creation not going to add anything to him, not do a thing for him at all, but he knew one day that creation would kill him, and yet he does it anyway. That, ultimately, Todd, I think the answer is love. You know, we say that God created for his glory, right? That his glory, in order to share his glory. But ultimately, I think that's love. He creates for love because that's what God is love. That's what he is. And in a sense, that's all he can do is love.
Yeah.
And love is, I think Thomas nailed it, St. Thomas Aquinas, Todd, when he said love is what? To will the good of the other. Or as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love insists not on its own way or its own things, right? It's considering the other. So the creation is the ultimate example of God in an infinite act of power, creating, pouring himself out in this infinite act. Why? In order to give to the creation. And that's what he continues to do in creating us. Now, Todd, I suppose when you say, you know, why create, we often look at, you know, why create what we have here now with sin and wars and such. And perhaps, Todd, this might help. We have to remember, God didn't create any of that.
Yeah.
God didn't create wars. He didn't create hate. He didn't create sin. He created perfect natures, but he gave them freedom, both angels and men, God willed. And perhaps, Todd, this is the ultimate question, right? Why did he make us free? Why did he create us free with even the possibility of there being sin? And once again, the answer is what? Love.
Yeah.
Because without freedom, you don't really have love as we understand love. Because if there's not a choice, if my wife had no choice on our wedding day, or at least when I asked her, well, all the way up till our wedding day, she still had a choice. But when she said yes because she loved me. And I asked her because I love her. Now, if I had a gun to her head, she may have married me, but it wouldn't be love. And so, Todd, you know, love ultimately is the answer here. Now, because God willed there to be freedom and love, Adam and Eve sinned. The devil sinned, right? And all of those angels that fell with him and created all of this mess that we have. But what does God do, Todd? We sin. The devil sins. He leads, you know, tempts Eve and she sins, and she tempts Adam and he sins, and we have all of this mess in the world. But what is God's answer to that? He sends prophets. He sends the word of God. And ultimately, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so he continues to give. That's what he does. He continues to love. And that's what the redemption is Christ, or I say God, pouring out his love so that all of this mess that we've created through our sins can be ultimately and absolutely healed. So while, you know, we don't have the ultimate answers as to why God created, I think love is a pretty good start in answering that.
As a matter of fact, I would call that good news if I found that out. That
amen.
All this is about love. Todd, thanks very much for that call. I want to just share a question with you, Tim, from Facebook. Suzanne on Facebook asks, can people become angels after death?
And absolutely true, because It's a Wonderful Life. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
Capra was never wrong.
That's right. No, we're joking here, folks, because if you haven't seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life, you are in sin. I just want you to know. And I think the Vatican declared that. You are in sin if you haven't seen It's a Wonderful. And that, too, is a joke. But if, for those of you who don't know, the two or three people that haven't seen the movie... Clarence the Angel is an angel second class who was a human on earth and became an angel second class. Of course, that's not theologically correct. The point is, no, human beings cannot become angels any more than a grapefruit can become a gorilla, because we are essentially different. We are as essentially different than the angels as a gorilla is from a grapefruit. So we have, by this great incredible gift of God, been created with a nature that is all our own. And each angel, at least according to Thomas Aquinas, although I argue with him on his reasoning, he says each angel is its own species.
Mm-hmm.
That would be another radio show. But the angels have their own nature. We have our own nature. And it's impossible then for us to intermingle. That's, by the way, a little trivia here. One of the reasons why the early fathers of the church rejected that notion that was prevalent among Jews that, you know, that angels could mate with,
with
humans in Genesis chapter 6 and create the giants of old and all of that,
mm-hmm.
versus the, actually it's the sons of Seth, because that would be metaphysically impossible for angels to mate with human beings. But anyway,
Suzanne.
That was Suzanne, you got more than you bargained for on that one.
So, yep, no, we're not becoming angels, Suzanne.
No,
we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of your questions for Tim Staples, our Director of Evangelization and Apologetics here at Catholic Answers, right after this on Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live.
Amen. Hi, this is Tim Staples. Are you looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker to come and speak at your conference or parish event? We've got a whole host of Catholic Answer speakers just waiting to get on a plane and come see you. Go to CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to make your event the talk of the town. That's CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com. We look forward to seeing you.
Can you trust the basis of the Christian faith? The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if your faith is based on a myth? The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, often attacking the reliability of the New Testament and the Gospels. And the sad news is that most people don't know how to answer these charges. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of them. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, The Dawn of Christian History. With his characteristic wit and passion as a master storyteller, Jimmy takes you through an exciting detective story that reveals how history supports the Christian faith. Order your copy of The Dawn of Christian History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We struggle with sin. We're distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. Thankfully, the Church has given us Lent, the perfect time for reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. The saints of the Counter-Reformation faced greater obstacles than these, yet they each found the grace to persevere during a tumultuous time in the Church. How can we do the same? Reform yourself is a good place to start. We all need to reform our souls. This Lent, let the saints who reformed the Church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's Tuesday, so it's open forum, and open forum means anybody can call with any question they've got on the Catholic faith. If you've always wanted to know something about the sacraments or about the Bible or about the popes or any of that stuff, you are welcome. Maybe the saints. Give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Tim Staples is our guest this hour. Tim is the director of apologetics and evangelization and the author of many things, including Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines. But we are joined now in studio by the president of Catholic Answers, Chris Check. Hi, Chris.
Cy Callett. I just want to say I was watching the first segment here in the beautiful G.K. Chesterton studio, which you can watch online on Facebook and YouTube and Periscope.
Yes, right.
So you can see what Cy Kellett looks like.
Or you can get us on a TV show now, Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN.
On EWTN every week. God bless our friends at EWTN. But anyway, I was watching the first segment there, and it was reason 437 why I love Tim Staples. because he begins answering the question by saying, that's not a question that I can answer, and then proceeds to give a 15-minute answer to the question.
But he said only God can answer that, and then gave the 15 minutes. So that makes your question. Yeah. Who does he think he is?
That's complete.
Reason 438, and then of course he's talking about this Trinity thing, which I can't see under a microscope.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm very concerned. What do I do?
Boy, you are a real modern. You should probably go to a conference. If there was some kind of conference on faith and science,
that would be perfect
for
me.
Help you.
All right. Is there one?
There is one.
I think so.
It's September 27th through 30th. Coming up, is that right? 27th through 30th?
That sounds right to me, 27 to 30.
In
fact, it is going through the 30th, which is Sunday, because our special guest, Cardinal Burke, who's giving the keynote on Saturday night, is going to say Mass Sunday morning.
Fantastic.
Wow. On the 30th, yes. So the theme is faith and science. And we hear all the time, well, of course, we get calls to the show all the time, young people especially, are arguing that the claims of the Church don't really bear any scrutiny under the tests of the laboratory.
Oh, yes. if you just follow the thread on Facebook or YouTube any day while we're on the air.
Yeah. How can you prove that with a microscope?
By the way, Chris, I am in the process of doing an apologetic review on Carlo's new book, Prepare the Way, and it is fantastic. He takes scientism and a whole lot of other isms to task in that book. I hope it'll be ready for the conference.
I'm sure it'll be. So a lot of us find ourselves flat-footed when people say to us, "Hey, well, how do you prove that? How do you prove that God exists, or whatever the claim is, or you know, Adam and Eve, or all the canards, Adam and Eve versus evolution, Galileo versus the Inquisition, right, and everything in between." And this is the conference that's going to really prepare everyone who comes so that they're not caught flat-footed, so they can get the categories right to begin with, right? Yes. And then answer those questions in charity.
Amen. And it's so reassuring. I can't tell you, Chris, how many times I've heard this, but I remember one time in particular after a conference, a guy comes up to me and he was in tears and he said, "I have to tell you, Tim Staples and Catholic Answers, you guys changed my life because I'm a lifelong Catholic." But he said, "No kidding, Cy." He said, "I've always been afraid to say I'm Catholic or to tell anybody about it because I was afraid they were going to show me that my faith didn't make sense."
Right.
"And you guys have showed me that my faith is..." We're not rationalists. We can't rationalize to the Trinity as Chris pointed out here, but what he discovered, Chris, is what St. Thomas Aquinas says in the Summa Contra Gentiles, Book 1, Chapter 7 through 9, in a word, that our faith is reasonable. There is nothing about our faith that's contrary to reason, and in fact, any error concerning our faith can be traced back to an error in reason. That young man discovered that fact.
Yeah.
And it changed his life, Chris. Now he's like, "I want to tell everybody about my Catholic faith."
And gentlemen, this is the conference for that. We've got an amazing lineup, of course, the whole Catholic Answers team. Okay. Tim, Jimmy, Trent, Carlo, Father Hugh, and then, of course, Cy will be doing all the Master of Ceremonies.
And the radio
work.
Show.
Yeah, the live broadcast, the radio show. But then also special guests, Dr. Stacy Trisenkos, who's a regular on here.
Brilliant.
And Father Terrence Ehrman, another first-rate scientist and theological mind. And then we are so honored to have Cardinal Burke as our keynote speaker, and a dear friend of the apostolate, and he's taking time to be with us over the weekend. So what a great gift. Folks, CatholicAnswersConference.com for all the details. I think we've already got something like 200 people signed up for this thing. The room only holds a little more than 1,000, I think, maybe a little bit less. I'm not exactly sure. There's a certain number of rooms at the hotel. After that, they're gone. This is the same place we used last year, that Hyatt Aventine.
Wonderful.
Absolutely beautiful hotel. They're giving the exact same room rate we had last year. I don't know. It's like $140, $150. It's a total bargain for that part of San Diego. And as I like to say, September, end of September, is the best time to come to San Diego. The crowds are gone. The water's still warm. And Tim, you know, the people who come to this conference, they really are the folks. They're the ones that make it. The joy, the palpable joy that's in the room, and all your fellow Catholic Answers fans there in a beautiful part of the world with great speakers and a special
guest.
And
they better watch out. You know why? Because last year I was sick and I couldn't make it. So this year I can't wait.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm going to be
Valerie came and...
She did.
Man, she knocked it out of the park.
I think she got a bigger ovation than you would have got, Tim.
She always does.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that John Sorensen, our Director of Operations, just updated the website today with additional secret information.
Okay.
Catholic,
does that involve dancing? there will be dancing.
There will be.
Yeah.
Can we say that yet?
Maybe? Yeah, we've talked about it. We've talked about it a little
Jimmy
bit.
Jimmy Akin will be calling square dancing.
Oh, my goodness.
At the Catholic Answers Conference.
And I would like to be in the same square with Cardinal Burke if I can. Let me tell you something. Cardinal Burke is a great get, but something you don't know about Dr. Stacy Trisenkos.
She's a great square dancer.
Rodeo queen.
Oh,
she was a rodeo queen.
All right.
No way.
Yeah,
I think so. Now that I said that out loud,
Catholic
I'm not sure if it was her, but I'm pretty sure.
CatholicAnswersConference.com. Special early bird pricing through July 2nd. For all the details, visit CatholicAnswersConference.com. My friends, this is going to be a great conference.
Yes, it is.
It is. Thank you, Chris, very much. CatholicAnswersConference.com.
September 27 to 30.
We'll see you there. We'll see you.
hundreds and hundreds of you there.
God bless.
All right. See you, Chris. Let's go to Kathy in Denver, listening on 1060 AM. It is open forum. And Kathy, your question for Tim Staples.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, I just want to add that there's a Hallmark movie where an angel, because she has free will, her name is Gabriel, becomes human because she falls in love with somebody. So I thought I'd throw that.
That does sound like a Hallmark movie.
There you go. Yes. Okay.
My question is, I teach third grade religious education, and we're doing restored order in our diocese, and so I'm preparing the kids for confirmation. And I'm working on the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so I go to the Bible, and I see the nine gifts or the fruits of the Holy Spirit listed. And then I'm like, okay, why do we say 12? And everybody else says nine. And they sent me to the Vulgate Bible, and I've heard of this version of the Bible. And wanted to know, why does our current translation of the Bible, why don't we have the longer version of it?
Right. As far as I know, the 12, and I'm actually looking at them right in front of me, there is a tradition where the fruits of the Holy Spirit come from, I believe that's Galatians. Now, the fruits of the Spirit are these. And then there is a tradition as well that I believe adds, and I'm trying to remember now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1832, lists all 12 of them. And I believe they are added not from the Vulgate, but from other places in sacred scripture. And gosh, for the life of me, I can't remember where they came from. But the difference is, now you just gave me something new here. Are you saying that you've seen in the Vulgate that they add three fruits in Galatians?
No, I don't know if they say that.
Yeah, because I don't believe that's where it comes from. But I just to sum it up, because I can't remember the particulars, there's an extra three fruits of the Holy Spirit that come from elsewhere, and not just from the book of Galatians. If you just go to Galatians and read the fruits of the Spirit, I believe there's nine. Now I'm going to have to go and look up Galatians to make sure I'm right on that, because I'm going off the memory off the top of my head. But I'll tell you what I will do. During the break, I will do that to make sure, and I'll see if I can find out where the other three fruits come from.
So keep listening, Kathy. Thanks very much for that call. I want to, before we go to break, Tim, share a question from Facebook, Katrina on Facebook.
Yes.
How does baptism tie into purgatory? I'm Catholic, but I don't know what to make of the two.
Well, in order to go to purgatory, you have to be baptized.
Okay.
Unless you've received the baptism of desire. That is, you've desired Christ and the sacrament, then you could receive the grace of the sacrament and still have committed sins that require temporal punishment. So that's the way they are related, because remember, only Christians and ultimately only Catholics go to purgatory. You say, really? Only Catholics? What about the Baptists? Well, as soon as they get there, they become Catholics. Why? Because they realize the fullness of the truth, and it is, in fact, Catholic. So I guess that would be the only relationship between baptism and purgatory, is you need the grace of the sacrament of baptism in order to get to purgatory. And then, of course, in purgatory, you're being cleansed or purified of all of the temporal punishments that are yet due for the forgiven sins that you've already been forgiven for. And also venial sins can also be forgiven in purgatory.
So let me ask you something then. I was baptized a long time ago. I was a little baby. But let's say I had never been baptized. I got baptized and some terrible meteor hit the church or something. But by being baptized, does that mean I'm going to go directly to heaven, or will I go to purgatory because I've...
Yeah. Generally speaking, Cy, if someone is baptized and they get hit by a truck immediately, they're going straight to heaven. And I'd like to see the truck that drives in that church and runs over them. But,
so baptism is really a complete purification of us.
It is.
We're completely made new.
I always hesitate on that.
Oh, okay.
And this is why. You're objectively speaking, you're absolutely right. And that's a very important point to make. Baptism takes away all sins and all punishment that is due for sins. So mm-hmm. you become a saint. However, there's always a however, isn't
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Well, if in fact a person goes to the waters of baptism and has not repented of their sins,
okay.
they will get the seal of baptism, mm-hmm. but they will not have the grace. The sanctifying grace will not be fruitful in their life.
Oh.
And they will go to hell if they die in that state.
Oh,
see,
so
because you do have to repent. You have to be sorry for your sins in order for baptism to take effect in an adult convert.
Right.
But let's say you didn't. You were in an adulterous relationship. I'm not sorry.
I'm not stopping.
Well, later, I'm sorry, Lord. You go to confession. You get the whole ball of wax.
I gotcha. All right. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed the list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Can you trust the basis of the Christian faith? The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if your faith is based on a myth? The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, often attacking the reliability of the New Testament and the Gospels. And the sad news is that most people don't know how to answer these charges. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of them. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, The Dawn of Christian History. With his characteristic wit and passion as a master storyteller, Jimmy takes you through an exciting detective story that reveals how history supports the Christian faith. Order your copy of The Dawn of Christian History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Teresa Tomeo.
Every time I go to Mass and see my husband serving on the altar as a deacon, it hits me how, with God, all things are possible. I mean, there is no way that we should be still married, number one, based on all the problems we had. But number two, the fact that I'm in Catholic media and my husband is a deacon is simply a testimony to the power of God and the teachings of the Church that saved our marriage and, more importantly, our souls.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. 888-31-TRUTH, our number, 888-318-7884. I reminded you about it first hour. Just want to remind you again, the big special issue of Catholic Answers Magazine, the May-June issue, completely dedicated to the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. If you want to know what all the fuss is about and also what wonderful treasures are in many ways hidden in that encyclical, you want to go over to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and subscribe. The subscriptions are $10 to $20 off the normal price right now. You get a 1 or 2 year subscription plus a free digital subscription, and you'll get this magnificent it's like a handbook on how to understand Humanae Vitae and the Church's teaching on contraception, and also get an insight into some of why that was so painfully controversial in 1968 and then in 1969, and then in 1970, and then I can just keep going until 2017, 2018. Still, the church struggles with it, but it's a noble struggle in many ways to understand what the will of God is for us and for our identity as sexual creatures. 888-318-7884, our number for this hour. Tim Staples here as our guest. Open Forum is our topic. And Tim, Kathy had asked about, wait, are there 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit? And you wanted to kind of wrap that up for her.
Yes, I did. I just wanted to be sure because I was telling Cy during the break, I hadn't heard it put that way before, that the Vulgate, it came from the Vulgate, the extra three. And so I'm thinking, oh my goodness, are there 3 extra ones in Galatians 5:22 in the Vulgate? And I wasn't sure. So actually, that's not the case. As I suspected, Cy, in Galatians 5:22, where we see the fruits of the Spirit listed, there's 9. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you have, especially among Protestants, you'll find they will only talk about the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. But even in some Catholic circles, you'll see it listed as 9. Mm-hmm. And that's because they're focusing on Galatians. But in our tradition, we have 3 extras, like, for example, let's see now, chastity is one that's not in Galatians 5. And what were the other ones? I think it might be generosity, and there's one more. Which one was it? It might be goodness. I believe those 3 were added, and they come from other biblical texts and just generally from our tradition as being fruits of the Holy Spirit. So that's the answer. Basically, the 9 fruits come from Galatians 5:22. The other 3 come from our Catholic tradition. Great question, though.
And Kathy, thank you for preparing young people for confirmation. God Amen. Bless you in that work that you do, that very, very important work that you do. All right, let's turn now to Bruce in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, listening on 92.5 FM. Bruce, you're on with Tim Staples. Your question, please.
Yes, I have a question, but if I could make a comment as a veteran dentist that studied the human body for several decades, that conference you're having that ties science to the Gospels, it's just incredible, the complexity of the human body.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I've just been so impressed with that for all of my career as a dentist and all my life.
Yeah. Well, so, hey, thanks, Bruce. Thanks for saying that. I think that's an important thing to – I grew up with a father who was both a daily communicant and a doctor, and he used to communicate that to us all the time.
Oh, my goodness. Psalm 139, as you know, my dentist friend, the inspired psalmist says we are fearfully and wonderfully Amen. Made, right? And right. It is so incredibly true. When I look at the human body, just at the complexity of a DNA molecule or a human cell, you know, to say that happened by an explosion and no intelligence whatsoever, to me, it's insane. It's comical, really. Yeah. I mean, not to put anybody down, but I mean, I'm just saying, look at that objectively just for a second. The incredible complexity to say, what caused that?
Yeah.
But it was a really big explosion.
And a really long time ago. That's the thing.
That's right. Anyway, you had a question.
That just doesn't make sense without a creator.
No.
Anyway, I'm not Catholic. I'm not a cradle Catholic. I'm a cradle Mormon or member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Gotcha.
But I listen to Catholic radio and enjoy learning about some things from the Catholics
that are
much like Mormon teachings.
Yes.
They're just a whole bunch of them. Anyway,
right.
Earlier today I was listening to Catholic radio, and I'm sorry I can't tell you who it was, but it was one of the Catholic teachers that was relating a story that happened with him and his daughter, who I think was about 8 years old, where the dad was describing how we are in the image of God. And instead of just repeating we're in the image of God, she had a kind of an aha moment and said, oh, we're in the image of God, and God's in our image, and so we're in each other's image. And the dad said it was a neat moment for him to realize how close his daughter was feeling to God and in the same image. Well, my understanding may be clouded by being a Mormon, because we believe that we are literally in the image of God and he looks like us.
Right.
But I was curious. I didn't think that was the Catholic teaching, that we basically look like God and he looks like us.
Okay, right. Fair enough.
That is a great question. And your name is Bruce?
Yes.
Bruce, thanks so much for your call. No, actually, we as Catholics teach exactly what we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God created man in his image, but it would be erroneous. So we would gently correct that young lady. And you can see how somebody on the surface might think that's true. Well, if we're created in God's image, then he must be in our, if we're created in his image, then he must be created in our image. And so he would be created too, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, no, the point is, when we say, when the scripture reveals that we're created in his image, what that means is, and in fact, I like St. Augustine's take on this, my friend, that in the context of Genesis chapter 1, you see that God creates, on the final day here, on the sixth day, he creates man after creating all these other plants and animals, and these animals, of course, have physical bodies. And he creates man in his image and likeness. Well, what is it about man that's in his image and likeness? And it's man alone, because monkeys and apes and dogs and cats have bodies.
Yeah.
But they're not created in the image and likeness of God. So St. Augustine says there has to be more to this. It's not just the body, because the animals have bodies. Then they would be created in the image and likeness of God too. And so we deduce from that it's the spiritual component in us. It's our soul, our rational natures, having intellects and wills that transcend the animal order, and that's how we're created in the image and likeness of God. Now, there's an aspect to our bodies, says Pope St. John Paul the Great, that is also in God's image. We say, even though what God is immediately referring to here in Genesis is our spiritual nature, that's what separates us from the other bodily creatures on this earth, there is a sense in which we can say our bodies are also in God's image, in as much as our bodies make us relational. I'm related to my wife in a love relationship. I'm ordered toward her and she toward me. And by our sexual union, we have children. That images the Trinity, not in the sense that, you know, God's having babies, no.
Right.
But in the image of a relationship, we are relational, as the Father is in a relational, infinite relationship with the Son, and the Son with the Father, and the Father and the Son with the Holy Spirit. So there is a sense in which we can say even the body is in the image of God. But we have to really caution here. We don't want to go so far, and unfortunately, this is where we depart with our Mormon friends. We don't want to go so far as to say that God has a body, because if we do that, we make God something less than he is. God is infinite by nature. He has no beginning, no end. He is pure spirit, as John 4:24, God is spirit, right? They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And in James chapter 1, we see concerning God, that in him there is no variableness, nor is there even the shadow caused by change. He cannot change in any sense of the word. If he had a body, that would mean he could move from here to there. He could be over here and not over here, at least in a bodily sense. And if that's true, he's not God anymore, because in him there would be all sorts of variableness and shadow of turning, as James says, there is not when we talk about God. I am the Lord, I change not, says Malachi, and so many other Bible verses that indicate to us that God is absolutely one, and now our philosophy tells us as well, God is absolutely simple. He cannot have any potency, any potential to move from here to there or grow or come to know, and that's a problem we have, again, with Mormon theology, is that in Mormon theology, God was once a man, as we are now. God once was, as God is now, we will become, although God will continue to grow beyond us, we'll never get to where he is, we'll get to where he is now, according to Mormon theology. Well, then guess what? That makes God something less than God. If we can get to where he is now, if he once was where we are, that means there was a time when he was not. And so God is no longer the creator. He's no longer God.
Yeah.
Because God, by nature, has, as Genesis chapter 90, verse 2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. There is no beginning and no end. Same Hebrew word, by the way. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So there's no beginning, no change whatsoever. Sorry to put so many words into this, but does that at least give you a sense of why we Catholics teach what we teach?
It does. And, you know, this is not the forum for me to teach what the Mormon belief is, of course.
But I think I just laid it out, didn't I? Was I inaccurate in anything that I said that Mormonism teaches?
I would say you were accurate, but not complete.
Sure, sure.
You know.
Yeah, we only have a limited amount of time. But yeah, I mean, in essence, though, you get the sense that, you know, if we're talking about motion in God, then we're not talking about God any longer. Because if he can become something that he's not, then he's not God. Because that means from everlasting past, he's not God. But at any rate, great talking to you. Feel free to call anytime, my friend. And check out Catholic.com. We've got tons of information for you, free information concerning our Catholic faith, Mormonism as well, so you can kind of compare and contrast.
Thank you very, very much for gracing us with that call, Bruce. We got to take a quick break, though, so we'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Are faith and science compatible? Join us this September 27th to the 30th as we tackle the topic at Catholic Answers' 5th National Apologetics Conference. We've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to jumpstart your faith, including our very special keynote speaker, Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our on-fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Wow. These 2 hours go fast, especially when you got Tim Staples in for the second hour. Tim Staples is our guest. Tim is the author of Behold Your Mother, a Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, and he's the director of apologetics and evangelization here at Catholic Answers. If you've got a question about the Catholic faith, well, this is probably the best hour you could call. I can't think of anybody better to answer those questions than Tim Staples. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. We go now to Chase in Harrisonburg, Virginia, watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching on YouTube, Chase. Your question for Tim.
Hey, it's awesome to talk to y'all. I've been watching YouTube videos, Catholic Answers, for maybe about a month now.
Fantastic.
Good couple weeks. And yeah, God bless you all for doing what you're doing. And I'm Catholic. I have a friend who's a non-denominational Christian.
Okay.
And my question is a question really he has. Why should a non-denominational Christian trust the authority of the Catholic Church over the Bible alone?
That is a great question, and we could do a whole hour on that, my friend. But here's one thing you might want to toss out to him. The reason he should trust the authority of the Catholic Church is without the Catholic Church, you don't have a New Testament. That is a matter of historical fact. I will never forget years ago when I first heard, and I still have it. I have it on cassette, though. Dr. R.C. Sproul, who has somewhat recently passed away, a wonderful Presbyterian, a Calvinist, a theologian, and apologist, a tremendous speaker. That guy had kind of, you know, in a different way, but a Billy Graham kind of presentation skill. You know, I used to love to watch him, even though I disagreed with him a lot of stuff. But anyway, he famously said that the New Testament is an infallible, let me regroup here. A non-infallible collection of infallible books. All right? Now, let that sink in for a little bit. A non-infallible collection. Now, why did he say that?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a famous statement, but you know, I respect him for saying it because he's basically acknowledging what Martin Luther said 500 years ago. He said, we have to give the Catholics credit for the New Testament because without the Catholic Church, we would know nothing of it.
Yeah.
Right? Now, John Calvin had a different take. You know, Calvin had this kind of, I call it the warm fuzzy approach to the canon. If you read the canon, it's kind of the Mormon approach.
It teaches itself.
That's right. It'll give you a burning in the bosom. Well, the Mormons will use that phrase of a burning. You read the Book of Mormon, and it'll confirm itself. It'll give you a burning in the bosom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not making fun, but, you know, that burning in the bosom could be lunch. You know, you could have a digestive problem here or whatever. We don't go by burning in the bosom, and we don't go by, as John Calvin said, you know, it will confirm itself, which is really essentially different from what the Mormons say. No, the fact is Luther was right. As a matter of history, the fact is the New Testament could not canonize itself. In the early church, there were disagreements over which books should be in the canon. It took 300 years before we had the church really declare and give us a formal canon. And so you had bishops who disagreed over whether Revelation should be in the Bible or 2nd and 3rd John, Hebrews, 2nd Peter, and other books. And there were also bishops and leaders in the church who believed books like the Epistle of Barnabas, Clement's Letter to the Corinthians, the Shepherd of Hermas, the Didache, and others should be in the Bible. So this is a point you want to make to your friend. As a matter of history, it was the Catholic Church that determined which books should be in the Bible and which not. And so that's why Sproul had to honestly say, well, it's a non-infallible collection of infallible books. Why? Because the Catholic Church put it together.
Yeah.
And the Catholic Church is not infallible. That's his point. Well, then, if the source is not infallible, how could
the product be infallible?
The product, that makes no sense.
No.
You can't give, you know, in philosophy, say action follows being, or St. Thomas says action follows being, we would say you can't give what you ain't got.
Yeah.
Right? And so the fact is, you know, St. Augustine, I think, said it well. I think it's in his letter against the Manichaeans, as I recall, where St. Augustine said, I would not accept the authority of the New Testament, except the Catholic Church moved me to do so. And so there is a huge reason to accept the authority of the Catholic Church right from the get-go. There's much more you could talk about, but I would recommend that as your first step. You say, look, if you don't accept the authority of the Catholic Church, you have no reason to accept the 27 books of the New Testament as the inspired, infallible Word of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I would recommend, you know, give that kind of as a first step, see how he responds, and then we have a whole lot of tools.
A lot.
If you want to follow up with him at Catholic.com, we got tons of free stuff for you. I'd recommend one book that I think has helped a lot of people, is especially from an evangelical perspective, is the book Faith of Our Fathers by James Cardinal Gibbons. He too makes that argument for the scriptures, but it's a great book. It's a classic. It's written in the previous century, in the 1800s, but a glorious book. That helped me personally on my odyssey to Rome. So check it out, and don't be a stranger. I'd like to hear how things go.
Thanks, Chase. Thanks very much. Going to try to squeeze another one in. Colin in New Brunswick, Canada, watching on Facebook Live. Thanks for watching on Facebook. Colin, your question for Tim Staples.
Yes, I just got a quick one. I think you might have already answered it, but
okay.
I'm an atheist, and I watch a show called The Atheist Experience.
Gotcha.
And they like to have religious people call in.
Yes.
And so, you know, they don't really want atheists to call in because it's sort of like preaching to the choir. And so anyways, on that vein, I would like to call into a religious show and ask some questions, if
yes.
That's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We accept all comers.
Yeah. Well, it's just in modern times, I'm wondering how you guys deal with all the doubt. Like I think the Pope just apologized to Galileo there a few years ago in the 90s, I guess, mm-hmm. about, you know, something that, you know, the Catholic Church took 350 years to accept, mm-hmm. you know, that the Earth isn't the center of the universe. You know, so it's like all these gaps are being filled by science as time right. goes on, and it seems quite
okay. Well, let me
challenge.
Sure. Could I jump in here, because we are running out of time here? First of all, I think you've got it wrong on the Galileo issue. The reason why the Holy Father apologized was not because the Church, you know, didn't accept what Galileo was trying to get at. There's a lot of things. It was his treatment that the Holy Father was apologizing for. As you may know, the Catholic Church, and in fact, Copernicus, 70-plus years before Galileo, had already written a book on, you know, why geocentrism is not so, and he argued for heliocentrism. And by the way, he was a Catholic in good standing, a priest, Copernicus, and dedicated his work to the Holy Father. So many in the Roman Curia back then, popes and such, knew the truth of the matter here. But this was in its infancy stages, and the Church was concerned with scandalizing people. And so when Galileo, and here was one of the problems with Galileo, when he went further than just saying heliocentrism is true, and you probably know this as well, he was wrong. You know, he was wrong about heliocentrism, as was Copernicus. They were all wrong. We know now that our sun also is moving within a galaxy, and then there's lots of galaxies and stuff, so everything is moving. So both Galileo and Copernicus were wrong, and the Church was cautioning, don't start making conclusions based on something that is still a theory. And where Galileo really went over the line is when he called into question Scripture, like the case of Joshua, where the sun stood still for 12 hours so that the people of God could fight and defend, you know, the land that God had given to them. He said, that is false. Now, of course, Galileo is going to be called on the carpet by the Church, because Galileo, you're a scientist, you're not a theologian, so stick to science, and that's why he got called on the carpet. The Holy Father was apologizing for the manner in which he was treated, the in-house arrest, although he was treated rather well compared to others of his day that were burned at stakes and whatnot. He was at least given in-house arrest, but still, the Holy Father apologizes for that, because that's not something we want to do. So what we have to be careful to do, and this is what we do here at Catholic Answers, is we separate what's real from what is false. You've been given to the popular sort of, oh, the Church took 300 years after that to accept. And that's simply not true. What the Church does is we leave science to science. We let scientists deal with that, and we praise them where they need to be praised, and then we call them on the carpet when they start getting out of their league. For example, scientists calling in to question the existence of God. We say, That's not a scientific question. You're talking about metaphysics. Science, by definition, deals with the material world. You're dealing with metaphysics when you start talking about the soul and the existence of God. Leave it alone, Mr. and Mrs. Scientist, because when you start getting over into there, you really start making statements that go beyond your expertise. But at any rate, appreciate the call. I wish we had more time.
I'm sorry
with with our atheist just friend. But God bless you.
Call back. And remember, Galileo went to Catholic school.
yes, he did.
That's where he learned all that science, at least to begin with. Tim Staples, thanks for a great hour.
Thank you, my brother.
All right. We'll see you next time, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.